Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you just lift your hands and give the Lord praise, if you would. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Amen. There's times you get down to pray and you just, amen, as you begin to pray, you just can't hardly ask God for anything. Just got to stop and just thank him. He's been so good. So good. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles if you would. Amen. I'm going to try to preach to you tonight. Amen. If the Lord will help me. Praise the Lord. We'll look in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Hallelujah. 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 Need the Lord to help me tonight, all right? Probably not going to preach to you very long. Just got something on. But I say that, and then I'll go 45, 50 minutes, right? So, don't want to say that. But do you just want to share what I got? Is that all right? Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out of the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And those verses, especially verses 3, 4, 5, kind of give a very common story, a story we're all familiar with, in that the Lord is telling us, you know, first look at your own. First, look at your own life. And I want to talk to you, man, for a little bit, if I can, about the strong, not the strong, the straw man. How many even know what a straw man is? Not a scarecrow. A straw man is not a scarecrow. All right? That's a man made out of straw, but that's not a straw man. See, the straw man is an argument. It's a type of argument that is put forth. When you're arguing with somebody and in a debate with somebody, and they put forth some kind of a claim, all right, and you take that and you begin to, you don't know how to refute that, so what you do is you create something else to distract them or get the attention away from the first thing. Let me just give you an example. Person one, they make a proposition X. They make proposition X. Person two, okay, argues against this proposition X, but they use a similar proposition Y. Falsely arguing against X. Here's how it works in what you're familiar with in politics or something. Somebody says something, and this man, their opponent, will twist their words into something they never really said and say, now see what he thinks? See what he is? But that's not what the man said. That's not what he said. That's the straw man argument. Or they take what is said, and they change just one little piece of it. One little piece of it. Or they take something that is said and they take it out of context and put it in their own context. Yeah. Right? Take one word that is said here and put it over here. You see, the devil, he loves to use the strong man in debate. The straw man, excuse me, I'm going to keep saying strong man. Straw man, he likes to use the straw man in a debate. He did it all the way back in the book of Genesis. Right? When Adam and Eve were in the garden. And they said, but God said. And what Satan said, no, you know why he said that? And he took the words of God and he twisted them around. When Jesus went up to the mountain and he was tempted, right? He took the words and Satan used the straw man argument against him to try to get him to succumb. But he tried to use that argument against him. Saying, oh, the Lord wouldn't let anything bad. Cast yourself down. Cast yourself down. Nothing bad would ever happen. He uses the straw man argument. The straw man argument. You know, when you think about it, the straw man, he's light and fluffy. And he really cannot stand against truth. Right? But how my concern tonight is how many times do we use the straw man argument? When we're debating, I'm not talking about arguing with one another or debating among ourselves, but I'm talking about when God speaks to us and God talks directly to our heart. You know, I'm glad that God takes time to talk to us. I'm glad that the Lord takes time to speak to us. I'm glad that the Lord takes time to deal with us in each and every one of our lives. I'm thankful that the Lord, amen, deals with each and every one of our lives. I'm thankful that we can go to church and we can worship God and then we can feel the presence of God come by and God speaks specifically to us about something in our life. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost can speak through tongues and interpretation. And the Holy Ghost can speak something that bears witness in our spirit. I believe that you can know, and you know, when the Lord is talking to you. Yeah. Conviction is a wonderful thing. You say, what do you mean it's a wonderful thing? I say, thank God for conviction. Thank God that we can feel conviction. Thank God that God would even bother to convict us. That God would even take time to send conviction, amen, to deal with our heart, amen, and to deal with our life, right, and to take his finger and put it on our life and on our heart and point to the things of our life and say, listen, this needs to change. Amen. God, I'm thankful that we have a God that is mindful of us, that cares enough about us, that loves us. Amen. If he was not a loving God, he wouldn't bother to convict us. If he was a spiteful God, he'd let you go on and just die in your sin. If he is an angry God, he would just let you go on and perish. But he's a loving God, a merciful God. And so therefore, he reaches out and he deals with every one of us. And he deals with us on our own level. Amen. So that we understand that God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me. Conviction, a wonderful thing. Thank God for our conscience. Thank God that God gave us a conscience that allows us to feel pricked in our heart. Amen. To feel that God is dealing with us and make us feel guilt and to make us feel shame for our sin. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. That God would allow you to feel guilty. I don't like the feeling of guilt. I don't like to feel shame. I don't enjoy that. But when the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts me and my conscience begins to deal with me and then I feel that guilt and that shame in my life, let me tell you what, I want to get rid of that. I want to get that off of me. That's a burden I don't like carrying. That's a load that's just too much. I mean, it weighs heavy on your heart, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Am I the only one that ever gets convicted around here? Hallelujah. Maybe you just don't, maybe, well, but that's because God loves you that he's doing that. I'm thankful that God loves us enough that he would deal with each and every one of us. I'm thankful that God cares enough about us, amen, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us in a service. That we'd even feel the move of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost would speak and give us instruction and give us direction and deal with our heart. Amen. Thank God for them, that God would deal with the heart of a man of God to preach to us. Amen. To lay a message on his heart. To preach to us about something in our life. And that the man of God would have the courage or the boldness, amen, to stand and preach it, even though he knows he's stomping on your toes. Right? Even though you know, and I tell you what, over the years, how many times have I heard, was that directed at me? Yes, it was. It was. Amen. What do they want me to say? No, I really hope nobody was here to hear that. I was really hoping that nobody was here that needed that. Amen. But thank God that God deals with the preacher. Amen. To preach something. Thank God that God deals with saints of God and elders in the church. Amen. To speak wisdom and direction to our heart. Amen. To challenge us and to give us correction and reproof. Thank God for the word of God. Amen. That deals with us. And when we read it, amen, that God points his finger at us. Thank God for the man of God. Amen. That say, you are the man.
Right.
Right. The Lord, he's amazing. Here, David had sinned. I was thinking about this. David had sinned. And, you know, David was, he was guilty as sin. You know. And here comes the man of God in. And the man of God starts the story. Okay? Starts telling this story about a little traveler. Okay? Coming by the house. Right? The rich man goes over and takes the lamb. Are you following me here? Following, you know, takes the little lamb from his poor neighbor. Who only had one lamb. And he offered it as food to the stranger. And David says, who is it? Oh, yeah. Who is it? Let me know. I'll deal with that man. The man of God says, thou art the man. Yeah. He fell right into it. I mean, come on, David knew he was a sinner, but God, amen, God reached right out there, put it right out in front of him. He took the bait, amen, the man of God set the hook and said, thou art the man. Thank God that God would speak to us and deal with us to save us from our sin, amen, to deliver so we don't have to die and lost, so we don't have to go to hell. Thank God that he speaks to you.
Amen.
That's not always what you want to hear. Not always what we want to hear. Speak gentle words to me. Speak kind words. Speak gentle words to me. Remember how the man of God, the king, he got all of his advisors together, and he said, now tell me what we should do, what should we do, and what's going to be the outcome. And they all begin to tell him all the good news and everything. And they said, should we consult with this man of God? He says, I don't want to talk to him. He never has anything good to say to me. He never says anything good to say to me. You know why? Amen. When he spoke, he didn't want to take it. He didn't want to take it, but thank God, amen, that God speaks to us, even though I don't like it, and even though I don't want to hear it, and even though it's not what I want to know, amen, but thank God that God tells me anyway. Thank God he tells me anyway that God would speak to me. Hallelujah. He would speak to me about sin. Yeah, sin. The not only sin, but hidden sin, those reoccurring sins, that God would speak to me about sin in my life. Thank God for that.
Amen.
You know what? You can go to a lot of churches, and they're never going to pinpoint your sin. They don't want to do that.
No.
That makes people uncomfortable, don't make people want to come back, and don't make people put in the offering. Right? They don't want to talk about sin. But I'm glad that my God still talks about sin.
Amen.
I'm glad that God still deals with me about sin. Come on, you know what? That's the most important thing in the world. Amen. If you come and we gloss over the sin and we ignore the sin and act like everything's all good, amen, and we all go on living in our sin and then eternity comes and we all die lost and go to hell, what good was it to even belong to a church? Amen. But thank God that he talks to us about our sin in our life. Amen. Sometimes it's embarrassing. It's shameful. It's a reproach. It's ugly. Amen. But God talks to us about our sin anyway. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he would talk to you about your sin. And because he loves you, you don't want to die lost.
Amen.
He talks to us about sin. I mean, he talks to us about areas of sanctification in our life. Amen. Because God's trying to get us to draw closer to him. And those things that stand between us and God. Amen. Less of me, Lord, more of you. God, let me lay aside everything, every weight and sin. God, let me lay it all aside that I could draw closer to you. God, let me draw nearer to you. God, let me be more like you, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we begin to have a heart after God, amen, God's going to speak to us. God's going to direct us. Amen. If you want to follow wholly after God, remember I told you about Caleb and his name there. Caleb, it means that it said that he followed wholly after the Lord. Amen. That word holy means closing the gap. Closing the gap. He followed wholly, means closing the gap. In other words, you know what? He wanted to get closer and closer and closer and closer to God. Amen. He got to a point where he closed the gap and he followed after the Lord until he walked with God. Amen. I want to get to that place. Amen. Following after the Lord. Amen. That I can get to a point that I can walk with him. Walk with him. In order for that to happen, though, God's going to have to speak to us about some things in our life. Some things we don't like. Amen. Sometimes he talks to us about attitudes that we have that need to change. Sometimes he talks to us about things, how we're treating one another. Sometimes he talks to us, amen, about things in our life that we have harbored, bitter feelings. And things from our past, things that we have just kept back and held on to. Amen. And we've not surrendered those things to God. Amen. And so the Spirit of the Lord begins to talk to us and convict us in our conscience. And thank God he does that. You know why? Because he wants to have that fellowship with you as well. He wants to walk with you as much as you want to walk with him. And so God begins to talk to us. And thank God that he does that. Hallelujah. So as God begins to speak to us about sin and some areas of sanctification in our life, in order that we can surrender to him and move closer to the Lord, and you lay aside those things. Amen. What God's just doing is he's saying, hey, hey, buddy, hey, woo-hoo. You got a beam in your eye. Hey, hey, bro. Hey, bro. Didn't know if you know it, but you got a beam in your eye. Really? I hadn't noticed. A beam in your eye. You ever had the Lord tap you on the shoulder? Say, hey, buddy, you've got a beam in your eye. Sin? Something you need to quit doing? There's something you need to change? Hey, buddy, you got a beam in your eye. You got a beam in your eye. And then we use the straw man. And then the straw man shows up. Say, but Lord, so-and-so has a mote in theirs. So-and-so, you look at so-and-so over there, Lord, they've got a mote in their eye. How often have we took when God speaks to us, and immediately we start deflecting it onto something else by pointing our finger?
Do you know, we look around, and you know what? We find somebody else that we think they are much worse than we are. The preacher's preaching, we feel conviction, but then to ease ourselves, we look around and say, oh, it couldn't be me. It's got to be them. It's got to be them. Here, let me help them. Let me shovel this over my shoulder here. Let me give them a little more. Amen, because surely the man of God is talking to them.
Straw man. The straw man deflects it to somebody else. The straw man says, well, Lord, you know what? It wouldn't be me. It's got to be my brother. Got to be my sister. Got to be somebody else. Lord, you wouldn't be talking to me like that, would you? Hey, bro. Bro, hey, you. You got a beam in your eye. You got a beam in your eye. But, Lord, look over there. Look at the other side of the church. Look at those sitting over there, Lord. Look at those, God. Lord, look at the hypocrite. Look at the pious. God, look at those that think they're special. God, point all of us. Lord, look at the harlot. God, look at the tax collector. Look at this one, Lord. Look at that one. God, why? No, Lord, you're not talking to me. And God says, yes, I am. I'm talking to you. And why the straw man? Why the straw man? Why we always say, look, it's somebody else, Lord. Right? See, the straw man argument does this. The straw man argument begins to point to all of our good qualities in comparison. When we feel that twinge of guilt and shame and conviction for the sin in our life, for the area that God is dealing with in our life, that we need to surrender or sanctify to the Lord, immediately we start saying, but Lord, look at all that I do. Look at all that I've given up. Look how wonderful I am. Look how nice I'm dressed today, Lord. God, look how many times I go to church in a week. God, look at how much I'm putting in the offering. Look how close to the front or how far to the back I sit, Lord, depending on where you feel most spiritual. All right, look. Brother Jackson, all the way to the back tonight, brother. Man, I'm worried about you all. I'm worried about you. Amen. Gonna have to move up here. Amen. But I mean, you know, wherever you fit in, you know, but you know, Lord, look at me. Look at all my good qualities. Look, I do this, Lord. I work in the bus. I work in the Sunday school. God, I work here. I do this. I do all these things, Lord. And God said, but I'm still talking to you. And you need to make a change in your life. And the straw man argument it is to point to all the good qualities. See, when it don't work for us to point to our brother, we point to all of our goodness. All of our goodness, and it's still not good enough. If you take all of your righteousness, all of your righteousness, and you put it on the scale, okay? And you take one sin, and you put it on the other side of that scale, it will not balance. It will not balance. You have to live right. You have to do right. Hallelujah. The straw man argument. The straw man argument. Comparing ourselves with ourselves. We become like fools. You know that? We're like fools comparing ourselves with ourselves. When God is trying to speak directly to you and point the finger in your life. Hallelujah. You know, it's funny because we're like, we all like have our own little funnel. Yeah. And when it's something good and it's the blessings and prosperity of God that we want, we turn the big end open to God and we say, pour it on, Lord. Pour it on. But when it's conviction and sin and God dealing with us, we turn it around. Right. That little bitty thing. Said, all right, fill me up now, Lord. Lord, must be for somebody else. Must be for somebody else. You know what? God appreciates those that come with a tender heart. Amen. Remember those two men that was praying in the altar of the tabernacle? And the Lord was listening in the synagogue there, and he heard one pray. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like these other people. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like those that sit on the other side of the church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like Brother Jackson sitting all the way in the back tonight. I'm sorry, that just keeps coming up, Brother Jackson. But Lord, I'm thankful. I'm not like that, Lord. I'm not like that. But I'm all the way up front, Lord. And you're Logan praying it now. Right? The straw man argument. It's a straw man argument. You know, Lord, amen, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like all those others, Lord. Look how good I am, Lord. Look at my nice robe. Look at everything that I've got going for me, Lord. I'm so glad I'm not like everybody else. Amen. But God is looking for the one that says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Amen. Don't take the straw man argument. Amen, but surrender yourself to the Lord. Fall on his mercy. Amen? What did the Lord tell us? Amen, that we should do? He said, Doc, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. You know what you need to have? You know what first you need to do is deal with yourself. And every time that you come to church, deal with yourself first. Right? And then worry about others. That's why I've said, you know, many times when we come to an altar, we need to come and pray. And then after we've prayed, then there might be opportunity to pray for somebody else. But many times we need to let God do it in our own life first.
Amen.
Work it in our own life first. Amen. The straw man. The straw man. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, I wish the Lord would continue to deal with my heart. I want the Lord to continue to deal with me so that, amen, I can say, yes, Lord. I know you're talking to me, Lord. It's me, Lord. I don't want to shovel it over my shoulder to somebody else. I don't want to point my finger to somebody else. But I want to be willingly to open my heart to you and say, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. God, I know, Lord. I know, Lord. Please remove the beam from my own eye. Remove the beam from my eye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder tonight, Ben, when we come to this altar, if you would be willing, if you'd be willing to say, Lord, I felt like you've been speaking to me, and I've been given all these other arguments and all these other reasons why I can't surrender, why I can't be sanctified, why I can't give up sin in my life. Amen, but God's talking to you. God's talking to you. And maybe when you come to this altar tonight, amen, you let God work, amen, in your heart. Would you do that? Amen, church, would you come with me? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.